I'm not sure how I want to title the word this morning. I thought What God Forgets might be the title, or If God Forgets, Why Can't We? So maybe it'll become clearer as we get into the word. There's a new level of understanding that the Spirit of God is about to release. This always amazes and perplexes me. I've been reading the Bible for over 50 years, over half a century. And you know, when God releases new truth by revelation, it's not like we find some hidden book somewhere. It's right here in plain sight. You look at scriptures you've read for years, and by the Spirit, new revelation comes out of those very verses. We're in a time now where a scroll is being opened. A new understanding is being released. And we want to be in a mode where we're listening to learn. I want to share something with you that I think I just shared a not too many weeks past, but I keep being drawn back to it. Some people read the word to learn about the Lord, to have the Lord impart revelation to them. Other people read their Bibles to reinforce what they already believe and how they already think. What category do we fall into? If we're reading to learn, there's that hunger and humility that's reaching in saying, Lord, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. If we're in that religious leaven, we already are set in our thinking about how things should be, and so we read the Bible just to confirm what we already think. That's what the Pharisees did, didn't they? John chapter 5, verse 39. You don't have to turn to these. I can read them real quick for you, but I want to just reinforce this. Jesus said, you search the scriptures. Who was he talking to? The Pharisees. Because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that bear witness of me, but you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Remember that, unwilling. Pharisees knew the word. But the word simply reinforced the mindset they already had. They weren't looking for Jesus. There wasn't a willingness to really open up to the truth. John 7:17. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. Where does spiritual discernment come from? Revelation? How do we know if things are of God or not? Got to be real smart. Well, it takes more than intelligence. It's the willingness of our heart to do the will of God. That opens us up to be aware of the spiritual truths. And again, that thing of willingness is such a key to our spiritual learning. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. What are these verses all about? Jesus is saying, hey, you that are stressed out, come to me. Learn from me. So are we willing to come to Christ? Now, we're believers, but I still pose the same question. Are we willing to be humble and come to the Spirit to learn what God is saying and what he's speaking? Are we willing to lay our mindset, our thinking, our agendas down before him and say, Lord, teach me, show me what you're doing. Got to have that heart. Problem we're in right now, I think, is what I would describe a hybrid of the old and new covenant. Straddling the fence. One fence in the old, one fence in the new, law, grace. Somehow we got to balance it and blend it together. No. This is an hour where we need to be immersed in the reality of new covenant life. We need to be severed and separated forever from what was the old covenant. And I want to go into that a little bit this morning. Paul's warning to the Galatian church, do you remember what that was about? Legalism had crept in. It wasn't that the Galatians were throwing grace away completely and saying, we don't believe what Jesus did, let's go back to the law. People were coming in and trying to mix in the old covenant with the new. What did Paul say about that? Well, you probably, if you've read Galatians, he was pretty vocal about it. He said that if you do this, you're severed from Christ. You have fallen from grace. I believe that's Galatians 5. What Paul was saying is there's no compromise. If you think you can bring a little bit of the old in with the new and somehow work out a balance, you're deceived. You bring that old in, you're going to lose the reality of the new. Amen. You remember when Jesus spoke and he looked at the temple and he said, not one stone will be standing upon another? Right. And you think about the mindset of the religious people of the time. The temple represented to them what Old Covenant was all about. Represented the sacrifices for sin. It represented, they had memories of when the glory of God would fill the temple and the priest couldn't even stand to minister. So as they read the word, they looked and said, you know, what the Messiah is all about, what? Overthrow the Roman tyranny, for one. Set up the government of God here. And certainly he's going to fill the temple with his glory. So can you imagine how hard it was to hear the words of Jesus of, see that building right there? Not one stone's going to be left upon another. And by the way, if you're around when this is happening, you better flee to the hills. Get out of town. He was saying the old is going to pass away. The old covenant is going to pass away because a new covenant is taking its place. But those that had their own, or addicted their own mindset of how things were going to be, no, that temple, God filled it before with his glory. We can point to verses in the prophets that say the glory is going to return. Got to hold on to it. Can you imagine what they went through when AD 70 came and the Roman government, the Roman army just destroyed it? See, the problem is with the old covenant is a perspective, a way of thinking, a mindset that cannot embrace the new thing that God's doing by the Spirit. It's an old wineskin. It can't hold new wine. And for us in this hour, if we're holding on to the old, we're holding on to thinking that is resistant to how God wants to move. Now, was this a discouraging thing that Jesus said about the temple being torn down? He was saying, okay, the old has got to pass away, and this is the last thing of the old right there. This temple you hold on to, when it's gone, you've got to recognize a new day has come. Unfortunately, we're still battling with the old and legalism and law 2,000 years later. But what was he releasing? He said, see this temple? Yeah, in the past, glory of God filled it. But now you will be the temple of God. My Spirit's going to indwell you. The glory of God's going to fill you. When the old passes away, it's not a time for sadness. Something greater has taken its place. We need to discover that greater in the hour that we're in right now. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at what it means when we talk about old covenant, new covenant. I think this chapter is one of the best to describe it. If you don't mind, I'd like to just read probably more than I normally do. Follow with me, Hebrews 10. For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins? But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. Okay, old covenant, what are we talking about? The law, that's the heart of it. What Paul is saying is these sacrifices were offered because of our sinful state. What they could not do in Old Covenant is it couldn't change our state of being human. There was just an atonement for sin. So what you did is you had the priests offer the sacrifices, and everybody going, oh, God's not going to breathe judgment and fire on us this year. Okay, we made it another year. Go through the cycle again. A year later, everything has to repeat because nothing's changed within people. So it's a consciousness of sin, isn't it? It's a consciousness of what's wrong with us. It's a consciousness of God is here to judge us, and we have this one thing we can do to avoid judgment. When we live in old covenant, if that's our mindset, we live with condemnation.
Amen.
How can you not live with it? If you're reminded, like it says here, year by year of your sins, and you have sin consciousness, there's a sense of condemnation that goes with that. As long as we hold on to the law, we will never be free from the accusing voices of Satan. I say voices, plural. The condemnation he tries to bring. But what is the reality of New Covenant? Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. With New Covenant, it's a whole new consciousness. If we're in Christ Jesus, it's more than just a statement of being saved. It's abiding in him, our awareness in him. There's no room for the lies of the enemy or condemning voices. Verse 4, it was impossible. And again, I just want to reiterate this thing of we can never remove the threat of condemnation. Excuse me. Where's my water? Can you get that for me? As long as we're in the old. Okay, let's go to verse 4. Thank you, Terry. I better calm down here. I'm losing my voice. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you take no pleasure. For behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He repeats this again, verse 9. Behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering, offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies are made the footstool for his feet. Last verse here, verse 14. By one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Here's the difference between Old and New Covenant. Old Covenant, you do rituals to avoid punishment. You live with condemnation, nothing changes. New Covenant, Jesus Christ offered himself one time, and by his sacrifice, we are clean. It says we are perfected. It's a whole new mindset, a whole new consciousness. Now, the problem with the law, we're not talking about an issue with morality. Whenever you start talking about law and grace, people go, uh-oh. You're going to somehow say sinning is okay, and you know, if we get away from the law and get into grace, then we justify the flesh. Not if you're seeing it correctly. Read Romans 7. Amen. When the law came in, Paul talks about there was a consciousness of sin. He says it's not that the law is sin. We need to do what's in the law. The law is good. The law came from God. The problem is not an issue or change of morality. If you live in grace or you live under law, we're still bound by the same moral code. We're called to be a moral people, okay? The Ten Commandments apply. Everybody should do those. I mean, that's just a good conscience, morality. The problem is when we use the law to define our relationship to God or God's relationship to us. When we see the law as the means of getting to God or walking with God, then we're living from dead works. We're trying to earn God's favor and blessing by what we do or what we don't do. That is the lie that has to be broken. That's the poison that is in that old covenant if we still feed on it. It's not that the law isn't good. It's that we're trying to relate to God through the law. What was the purpose of the law? Paul said, is to bring us to Christ. Once we have Christ, we have to be a new covenant. When Jesus offered himself for us, God looked down and saw us, human beings, and we are the same on this side of the cross as those on that side of the cross as far as our behavior. The flesh is still the flesh, right? But instead of looking down and saying this needs to be judged and having a bunch of priests scramble and make sacrifices and offerings to avoid the judgment, God looked down and said, I now see you through my Son. He looks at us and sees his Son. We're justified and sanctified by that reality. Amen. And we'll read about this in verse 16. And this is a prophecy from Jeremiah. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. What covenant are we talking about? New covenant. I will put my laws upon their heart, their mind I will write them. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Very powerful. What God forgets. Not only are you forgiven by new covenant life, by the blood of Christ, when God looks at you, he doesn't have a consciousness of your sins. That's what it's saying. I don't think Paul or Jeremiah were waxing poetic. I think it means just what it says. I don't remember your sins, God is saying. When I look at you, I don't see something sinful that needs to be judged or condemned. Do you see why that condemning voice and condemnation cannot breathe or live in new covenant life? Because God is looking and saying, I just see my Son. Now, if God can forget, why can't we? That's great. I believe, okay, God, you've forgiven my sins. You look at me, you don't see my sins, but I see them. Why do I still hear the condemning voice? We're still trying to operate in that old covenant. Like you could look at it and say, well, I'm just going to be the most moral person on the face of the earth. Let's say your morality is just far above anybody else. When God looks at you, certainly he's going to give you more favor. No, he looks and he sees his Son. What about if you're struggling as a Christian and you just having problems with the flesh and addictions and a lot of things that are plaguing you? When God sees you, he says, what a mess. No, he sees his Son. You see, our conscience, and we're going to read a verse about this. I better go to that right now in Hebrews chapter, where is it? Hebrews 9. Yeah, verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Okay, a new conscience, new covenant. We still have a conscience about right and wrong, okay? But what's added into that? Being in him, a conscience that there's no condemnation. A conscience that frees you from dead works, trying to earn God's favor. Where you can look up and say, you see my Son, your Son in me, you accept me as I am. Isn't that a beautiful thing? This is, when we get this, it'll free us. Amen. This is where we're to live. So we need this new conscience. What are we talking about here? We're talking about a new mind, aren't we? Amen. The new covenant life is the mind of Christ. It's a new way of thinking that we're to come into. What is the mind of Christ? Well, one scripture says we have the mind of Christ. So one thing we want to establish is the mind of Christ is not one person has it all figured out. The mind of Christ, it's on the body. All the parts have to fit together. Now, I don't know how that fits in with this, but you get that for free anyway. Okay, the mind of Christ is a mind that's freed from condemnation. Here's this new covenant life, the new covenant mind. There is no condemnation. No voices ruling your mind telling you you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you've got to try harder. All the striving comes from what? The condemning voice. The accuser of the brethren is cast down when we wholly accept the new covenant as our reality. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 3. Thing I want to end with is, this is so true and so real, why is it so difficult for us to forget what belongs in old covenant under law, but Jesus Christ died on the cross to not only forgive, but just to remove from our lives? Why do we hold on to the old. Now, I think one thing that keeps coming up is the willingness. We have to be willing to come to him. When you're struggling with old covenant, don't try to just talk yourself out of it. Listen, the conditioning is very deep with all of us. It's not just conscience. When we talk about condemnation, it's the subconscious. It's the things that go on under the surface. That cleansing has to go all the way through to our core. Okay. We need the Spirit of God to do this for us. But we need to be willing to look at the Lord and say, I can't straddle the line between the two. I can't serve and have one foot in old covenant life, one foot in the new. Father, I'm willing to have you do your work in me where I can be immersed in the life of new covenant, where I can be immersed in your new mind. Now, let's look at John 15. Jesus said, you are already clean, verse 3, because of the word that I have spoken to you. What does this chapter deal with? Pruning, right? You remember that? Speaking about branches bearing fruit, branches that bear fruit, what does he do? Plot and say, wonderful fruit. No, he prunes them so they bear more fruit. He's telling the disciples, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. What is this whole pruning process? How do we get out of this old way of thinking? Listening to the word. His word is active, alive, powerful. His word is a sword. We don't talk ourselves out of it. We don't think ourselves out of it. We embrace what his voice, and we say, let your word be a sword in my life. That's how we experience this cleansing, coming out of the old. Now, just because you listen to a word doesn't mean it's a sword to you. Because you listen to a sermon and applaud it and say, that's a good word, I believe the teaching. No, we have to be willing to look at what God is speaking and with our ears say, I want that word to purge me. I want that word to cut. We make that determination. God doesn't walk around with his word like this and saying, okay, here we go. If you don't want the surgery, the great surgeon won't do the work.
That's right.
If you say, God, I want you at a distance. Remember, that's what the Israelites did in the wilderness. God said, come out. I've set you free from Egypt. I want you to come to my mountain and worship me. I want a relationship with you. Oh, no. Moses, go hear what he has to say. We want our land, our own land, but we don't want to mess with God. We might die. You know, we don't want anything to do with that. So God said, okay, you want distance? Here's some distance. Here's a law that you can never follow or do. Ten commandments? No, there's over 600 commandments, rules and regulations, right? Tons of them, more than you want to know. So what does God do? He adapts. You want distance? He'll give you distance. You want his word to be up close and personal? You want to say, Lord, I want more than good doctrine. I want it more than just something that blesses me once a week on a Sunday morning or when I just read the word, revelation that makes me feel better. I want your word to cut deep and remove from me the old that's hindering the new. One last verse and we're going to close. Joshua chapter 5. This is when they're going into the land and there's a second circumcision. Follow with me. First generations died out. Remember that generation, the ones that complained? The ones that weren't willing to do what God wanted? Okay, they died out. New generations going in, and now why do they need to be circumcised? Well, you can read this later. I'm not going to take the whole time now, but Joshua, let's just start with the fifth chapter and read on down. We're just going to pick one verse. After the circumcision, the Lord said to Joshua, verse 9, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. There was something this new generation was carrying, even though they weren't the ones that had grumbled and complained in the wilderness. They were still carrying a reproach from Egypt. Something in their psyche, something in their subconscious, conditioning, fears, that God said, that's got to be cut out if you're going to go in and take the land. Okay, with us, what is the question we're asking? God, if you can forget my sins, why can't I forget? Why can't I lose that consciousness that brings condemnation to me? We have to be willing for this circumcision. We're carrying with us the old consciousness. We want to forget like God forgets. We want to be able to look at ourselves and see the identity that God's created. To look in the mirror and not see, try to wait, kind of wade through all our failures and what I did wrong yesterday and last year and 10 years ago, and maybe I'll find the Lord in there somewhere. No, look and say, I see the Son. I see how God sees me. How do we forget? How do we have that cut out? Well, it's a circumcision. Let the Word circumcise your heart. As you listen to Him, let what He speaks to you go deep and say, Father, I want that part of me removed. That's remembering what you want me to forget. Amen. That keeps bringing up. That leads to condemnation, right? That's all it does. If we're condemning ourselves, we're not aware of being in Christ Jesus, are we? That's the price we pay. So let's let the Word, as we listen to the Word, we listen with a heart saying, circumcise. Just cut out that part inside. And once we let the Lord do the work, I don't know what kind of process this is. I mean, I think we've all been in it. I don't think it's something new. I think we need to welcome it more. I think we need to let the Word of God be more to us than it's been in the past. Is it fun being circumcised? Well, if you read Joshua 5, I'm sure this young generation that was ready to go into the wilderness, they weren't too anxious to experience a circumcision. We're not talking about kids here, right? These are adults. But God said that reproach of Egypt, that thing that's under the surface, has got to be taken out. I think this is how we come into the mind of Christ. It's not just a new level of intelligence. It's we let the Lord circumcise our heart with His Word. And we have that new covenant mind. We're on exactly the same page with God. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we all have a relationship with You and with Your Word. And may our awareness deepen this morning that Your Word can be living, powerful in ways in our life that we have not experienced before. Amen. We welcome the sword of the Spirit to cut away from us that which holds us back from Your mind, from living a new covenant life and the freedom that that life is all about. We can't perform the surgery ourselves, Father. Only Your Spirit can do it. This morning, what we're saying is we're willing for Your Spirit to do the work that needs to be done. Amen. Amen.